This is Bill Munhausen with another episode of What Makes Sense. The topic is freedom of speech, something we have taken for granted in the United States. However, this fundamental freedom is under attack, not from government, but from private institutions that control so many elements of modern society. I'll be using psychologist Jordan Peterson as an example. Peterson is a licensed psychologist who has forged a reputation on YouTube and other channels for speaking out on societal issues. His positions on social issues are controversial because he comes at them from a decidedly rational and academic perspective, which often defies the views of the academic establishment. Among those offended elements of the academic establishment is the College of Psychologists of Ontario, the CPO, a body that regulates the licenses of Canadian-based clinical psychologists like Peterson. They intend to punish Jordan Peterson because of his personal, not professional, opinions, and they are threatening to revoke his license if he refuses social media re-education. Peterson must meet with a psychologist for coaching lessons, which he must pay for, until a final report is issued by the coach that shows their concerns have been, quote, properly ameliorated. It sounds very Orwellian. The CPO is acting like the thought police in the area of intellectual pursuit, where freedom of thought is absolutely necessary. So Jordan Peterson launched a legal challenge against the College of Psychologists of Ontario for judicial review with the Ontario Divisional Court. But the court took the easy way out. While admitting that every Canadian citizen has the right to speak their opinions, they ruled that the CPO has the regulatory authority to police the behavior of anyone they license. With that decision, the government basically deferred to a private entity to decide what rights a citizen has. Now everyone is weighing in on the Jordan Peterson situation. The following is a podcast conversation between two show hosts arguing over freedom of conscience among professionals. I'll play it for you and interrupt with my thoughts.
An Ontario judge has ruled against famed internet psychologist Jordan Peterson and upheld that he must attend social media training mandated by his employer, the College of Psychologists of Ontario. Now, according to reporting in CBC News, the college ordered Peterson to undergo a coaching program on professionalism in public statements after receiving multiple complaints regarding his online rhetoric about women, gay people, and transgender people, and other political subjects. Yeah, look, I find this very concerning. Obviously, Canada is a place without a First Amendment, so his provocative political statements don't have the same degree of protection as they do here.
Lesson number one. Do not underestimate the value of the United States Constitution. It never occurred to me that Canada, the northern twin of the United States, had no constitutional protection for free speech. As we will learn, constitutional protection alone is not enough when government chooses not to intervene when private institutions violate rights. But our Bill of Rights at least provides a psychological encouragement in favor of free speech. American institutions, no matter how authoritarian, are at least wary of violating rights. Canadian culture is different, far more likely to conform for the common good instead of bucking the system.
Wait a minute. This is a professional organization, right? And talking about how you can operate in an employment context. Is this not an argument that employers can set professional standards for their employees in terms of public media?
I mean, it's a quasi-public-private thing because it's a licensing board, it's government regulated, the college is a public college, so it's not, I would agree that your employer doesn't have to employ you, and if they don't like your social media presence, they can correct it. But can a professional regulated licensing board take away your ability to make political statements and also keep your job? I don't think so.
Wait, they can and they do all the time.
Yeah.
People get disbarred for all kinds of reasons all the time.
Right. People shouldn't be disbarred for saying, for expressing viewpoints that clash with the liberal establishment would be.
Well, that's a lot of yada, yada, yada hand waving away what he's actually said.
The woman host is saying that private regulatory boards have the right to regulate the behavior of people in their profession. Then she interjects a statement about not having to employ someone who doesn't meet their standards. She's coming from the point of view of having been an attorney, wherein a prospective lawyer has to pass a bar examination to prove competency, and then must conduct themselves according to prescribed standards. However, those standards are particularly about conduct in the courtroom and in practices associated with participation in legal cases. Undoubtedly, professional boards try to assert control over personal conduct, which reflects the integrity or honesty of the attorney, but they would have trouble in the United States if they tried to regulate speech away from conduct of an actual case, in other words, private speech. I first noticed this interference in personal liberty when COVID-19 vaccinations were mandated for medical workers. The situation created a strange conflict for conservative politicians who wanted to defend individual freedoms, but simultaneously did not want to interfere with private business practices. They became torn between the conflicting principles and tended toward the same mistake as the Canadian justice system. They allowed private businesses to infringe on individual rights and forgot that government was created to preserve those rights.
I don't think that Jordan Peterson has existed as a controversial political figure for, what, like a decade now? I don't think he's being, since, like, he's being made to take these classes because he said, I like conservatives, or me personally, I don't think that people should transition, or I don't think being trans is a real thing. Those are statements that a lot, you know, people agree with and can make. It's been after many years of this kind of behavior, a kind of an escalation, and I think many people have had issues.
So the woman host changes tactics slightly, saying there's nothing wrong with individual statements by Jordan Peterson, but rather it's the accumulation of statements over 10 years. This is a common ploy in liberal argument, finding nothing factually incorrect in any statement. They try to say that the overall tone is negative or hurtful or divisive or racist. It's hard to argue with someone's perception of tone when it isn't connected to objective evidence.
Do you want someone who is randomly going around in a very high profile way, making weird racial essentialist arguments about hosts of news programs? Is that diminishing the credibility of your organization? And professional boards have all kinds of ethics standards about not having relationships with clients, about not having drug use, things that are legal, but perhaps not allowed by the professional organization. And you can pick a bone with that, but acting like he's being targeted when people have been censored for wearing their hair certain ways and having all kinds of unprofessional behavior.
We could do a whole segment about that being inappropriate as well.
In this clip, the woman host refers to Peterson's social media posts as weird. As a public figure, Jordan Peterson has no patience for deliberately wrong ideas. And this is triggering for liberals because they don't believe in absolute truth. It's okay to have an opinion as long as you don't assert your opinion as if it is true. Jordan Peterson's training as a psychologist equips him to identify deceptive or psychologically driven arguments. He does what a psychologist might be expected to do. He probes the other person with statements intended to get to the root of the issue.
I am objecting to this to a purely based on the things he tweets. Attempt to punish or sanction him has nothing to do with it. He notes in this column for the National Post that he doesn't practice he doesn't take clients on anymore because his national profile is too great. Like, it's not people are not bringing an issue before the board that they were in a counseling session with him and he has unethical behavior based on anything.
But it doesn't have to be. There was actually a case, I wish I could pull it up. I was struggling to find it just now. There was a psychologist here in the United States who took to Twitter and was weighing in on some of these kind of pop culture Twitter viral moments. I think it had to do with the relationship dispute between people. And she took the side, I think, of the woman very strongly in a way that people argue, given that I think she was a couples counselor, a relationship counselor of some kind, diminished her potential client's ability to see her as a fair actor. And she was rebuked for that from the professional organization, because there are these standards about how you can behave on social media because you are a mental health practitioner for perfectly good professional reasons.
There are these standards, but that doesn't mean they're being enforced in any logical way or that they are themselves a good thing. I think of California trying to... What's the evidence that he's harmed any of his clients?
That's not the question.
That should be the question.
No. The argument here is that he is being targeted. So you have to provide evidence of targeting and not that this is...
Him submit to social media re-education
right.
training.
But who else has done that? What other cases exist? How does this distinguish him from everybody else who's been censored this year?
Maybe those cases are BS too. That doesn't mean this is...
Maybe, but like, you guys, you gotta make an argument. You can't just say...
The argument is that he should not be subjected to this.
Okay, then you're arguing against the existence of professional guidelines in the psychiatric practices in Canada. That's insane. I'm sorry, that's not a real thing. I can sit here all day and say, well, I prefer that my job didn't have any dress code. I prefer a lot of things. I prefer that I have a 4-day week. I prefer a lot of things that aren't the requirements of a job. And maybe I should advocate for those. I very much support a 4-day work week and think that people should be advocating and unionizing and trying to get changes to those things. And if Jordan Peterson wants to link up with other psychologists or psychiatrists who feel like the professional rules of that organization are outdated and need to be changed and updated in the world of social media, I think that's a legitimate cause. But if people are going to make the case that the right is being attacked and targeted in this way, which might be true, they have to make the case and show how he is being treated differently or unfairly under guidelines that broadly apply.
I'm not saying he's being treated differently. I'm saying he should not be subjected to this for merely tweeting his views. In the same way that California tried to have that law to again, not criminalize, because you would just be stripped as your post as a doctor for, sharing medical misinformation, and this bill was a disaster, and even, like, the ACLU spoke out against it, even though it would just be in the context of, the licensing board association type thing, but, of course, that is a, strictly regulated government quasi-public entity that does that. It was a bad bill, and it was opposed by the ACLU on free speech grounds. That's similarly how I feel about this.
There's a lot going on here. The woman host provides an example of a marriage counselor taking a woman's side on social media, and that such comments might detract from the perception that she would represent both parties in a marriage fairly. Isn't that self-correcting, though? The implication was that the counselor might lose clients, but that's the counselor's problem. Members of a licensing board might have an opinion, but they should let potential clients determine whether to employ that counselor. Let's face it, regardless of our profession, you either have freedom of speech or you don't. No officials have the right to interfere with the Bill of Rights. Second issue is the male host claims the regulatory board should only intervene if a client is harmed, but the female host asserts that harm is not the issue. She says the issue is that Jordan Peterson is being targeted. I don't think that's the case. Peterson's claim is not that he's being singled out for a standard being enforced. It's more like there is no standard. The CPO is arbitrarily deciding they don't like Peterson's opinions. But I doubt that they have a published standard that defines what can be said on social media. The woman attorney does a much better job of arguing, but part of her argument is misdirection. She says that Jordan Peterson needs to make a case for why he is wronged. But the case seems obvious because it's bigger than the issue of professional standards and licensing boards. The case is about the dividing line between the authority of a professional board versus civil rights as defined by law. We would all agree that a professional board could not rule that no black people could be admitted, because that would be contrary to the law of the land. That is exactly the same case that professional boards cannot limit speech, because free speech is the law of the land.
It does seem like for a lot of these professional organizations, like the law, like psychology, there is a credibility issue in your relationship with your client. And there are risks in being too open about your personal beliefs, not because it's like bad to have certain personal beliefs, but whatever your beliefs are one way or the other, it could affect your therapeutic relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's why there is this usually a social, like a clinically accepted line between what the therapist reveals about themselves and their lives and what you obviously bring to the table in therapy. And I do think that,
The woman host claims that professional standards are intended to maintain the credibility of practitioners. I would suggest that one way to measure credibility is by the response of media professionals and the public at large. The Wall Street Journal editorial board defended Peterson for speaking his mind in an opinion piece saying professional bodies are supposed to ensure that practitioners are competent, not enforce political orthodoxies, or act as language police outside the office. Regarding public acceptance, Peterson boasts over 15 million followers across his social media platforms. Peterson told the Toronto Sun, "I practiced for 20 years without being investigated. This only started when I became a prominent public figure. All this is to say that Peterson's opinions are supported by media experts and an audience of millions."
Well, he does accept that because he said he stopped seeing clients for exactly that reason.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, well, if he stops seeing clients, then why the need to hold on to your license if you're not maintaining the professional obligations of someone that has a license and uses the license for clinical treatment should have? I have not kept up my bar license because I don't care. I never want to be a lawyer again. And so you can't get me on any of these. But he seems to have some, like, attachment to it. He says he worked hard.
What do they say you have on professional social media presence?
I haven't paid a dues in a million years. I'm not in the organization.
It would be BS, though.
Right, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't have any investment in an organization I'm not a part of having thoughts and feelings about my behavior. They have no actual power. It's a professional organization, and the power only exists if you want to take advantage of the resources that you get from being in the organization. And it seems like Jordan Peterson wants to have it both ways. If you want to belong to a professional organization, sometimes there's rules. If you want to join the golf club, you got to wear slacks and whatever the dress code
is. But it's not just an informal club that has no government structure or
religion. No, it's a professional organization. Right. It's a licensing organization, and there's requirements for a license. Is it? Okay, well, next thing you know, it's going to be a free speech violation that they won't let me be a lawyer if I don't pass the bar.
Obviously, it gets a little silly toward the end of this argument where the female host quips that someday it will be a violation of free speech if someone can't pass the bar exam. Her serious argument is that professional standards should restrict people's rights. And it's sad that someone trained in law could take that position. It's one thing to enforce dress codes or standards against public intoxication or illegal conduct. It's quite something else for a professional organization to violate human rights. This may all seem rather academic to you if you don't live in Canada, but the free rein we allow private institutions is a looming problem in a political environment where government and business operate in collusion. So the government might not force you to get a vaccine, but your employer might. The government might not limit partisan speech, but your professional board might. Social media companies are also big offenders when they put people in social media jail if they say the wrong thing, and give American citizens no way to object to the standard. So far, the response of government is that social media giants are private companies and they can do whatever they want. Nevertheless, the philosophy of our government is embodied in our Declaration of Independence, which describes our God-given rights and concludes, "To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men." Our Canadian friend Jordan Peterson said the following, "I'm not complying. I'm not submitting to re-education. I am not admitting that my viewpoints were either wrong or unprofessional. I'm going to say what I say and let the chips fall where they will. I have done nothing to compromise those in my care. Quite the contrary, I have served all my clients and the millions of people I am communicating with to the best of my ability and in good faith, and that's that." We'll conclude with a commentary by one of Peterson's friends, Gad Saad.
Hi, everybody. This is Gad Saad. I'm not sure if I should be honored, delighted, or worried that the Ontario College of Psychologists, the governing body of clinical psychologists in Ontario, of which Jordan Peterson was a standing member, I guess, for many years, has asked that he be put through a retraining program to learn, because as a 60-year-old man who's had a long academic career as a professor at Harvard, University of Toronto, been a clinical psychologist for many years, best-selling author, one of the top Canadian authors of all time, he needs to be taught how to, you know, behave properly in a non-hurtful way on social media. That's exactly consistent with the ethos of a free society. And I learned that when I made a joke about the French Canadian accent, you know, the society that I've lived in since 1975, and I'm myself a Francophone. I learned that I can't make those jokes because in a free society, that's simply intolerable. Well, the Ontario College of Psychologists have asked me to serve as the principal tutor because I guess they know that we're friends, and so I can, you know, offer him good guidance and training. And so I just released a few minutes ago what the 16 points of his re-education program is going to consist of. And look what I have. Look at it. Oh, yeah. It's the whip of self-disgust. Because to self-flagellate is a measure of great progressivism. It's an ethos of progressivism. I'm bad. My society's bad. I'm evil. I'm ugly. I'm a racist. I'm a colonizer. And so on. That's what makes you a great society, is if you constantly reject all of the values that have made your society a free and enlightened society. So here are the, so let me just read you for, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the 16 items that will be a fundamental feature of Jordan's re-education program, social media re-education program. And with each one, I will self-flagellate, because one of the things that we agreed with the Ontario College of Psychologists is that he needs to show real contrition, real penance, a real pathway to redemption. And you could only do that if you feel it. Feel me? All right, here we go. So I'm delighted to report that I've been assigned to serve as Jordan Peterson's re-education tutor. I've made it clear to the Overlord of Darkness that he must publicly proclaim these positions on social media. Number one, men can get pregnant. Number two, men can menstruate. Number three, some women have 9-inch penises. We know that because a lot of anesthesiologists and other physicians have gone on record. I did a Sad Truth recently. I'm not being sarcastic now. Where they said, well, progressive science is completely on the side of the fact that, you know, you could just make a best guess estimate as to someone's sex and so on, because, you know, that's what they assign as a best guess estimate when a baby's born. Until 15 minutes ago, 117 billion people who've ever existed knew exactly how to pick what is male or female, but now we know better. All right, number four, the climate crisis is so dire that we have less than 2 years of existence left as a species. Anybody who says, hey, let's talk about whether we should be spending $100 trillion refitting all of our buildings and using smoking pigeons as our mode of communication, as long as the pigeons don't engage in flatulence, because then that would cause, you know, gas emissions. If we do that, then we're anti-science deniers and we should be banished. Number five, possibly my favorite, Justin Trudeau is what a strong, principled leader looks like. Number six, gas stoves are immoral. We know that certainly in the U.S., the noble climate warriors are trying to get rid of gas stoves. We don't want that. Number seven, fossil fuels are the devil's juice. Remember, Jordan Peterson, the Overlord of Darkness, has to publicly tweet each of these on his social media to demonstrate that he's reformed. He's a better person. And then he can retain his license. Otherwise, he loses it. That's what we want in a free society. Any person who is a professional should have his free expression monitored so that it doesn't hurt others. Number eight, Joe Biden is an honest politician, whereas Orange Himmler must be jailed. Number nine, the scientific method is a form of white supremacy. That I already covered it at length in The Parasitic Mind. I can't see it here. It's hidden. The Parasitic Mind, which came out in 2020. If you haven't gotten it, get your mind vaccine. Number 10, His Eminence, the Exalted Lord Fauci, is science. Remember when Fauci said, you know, he's going to retire, you know, that, I mean, science will cease to exist. He retires, there's no more science. And also science is white supremacy. So you got all that stuff. Number 11, COVID vaccine should be administered every second Tuesday of every month in perpetuity. That makes sense. Number 12, Peterson must recognize that he is a colonizer who is benefiting from stolen land. He must do so as his first tweet every day for the next 2 years. Number 13, this is an American one, but it's important. Remember, they say when the U.S. sneezes, Canada catches a cold. So this is part of that ethos. Occasional cortex, AOC, is not a narcissistic airhead. Number 14, we cannot understand human nature if not informed by intersectional feminism. That's clear. That's absolutely clear. Everybody knows this. Intersectional feminism is making big breakthroughs in genomics, in engineering, in pure mathematics. You need the feminist lens to crack open these fields. That's why you've got feminist glaciology. Real thing, by the way. You could look it up. Feminist glaciology. Number 15, Canada is a country built by white supremacy and systemic racism. That's clear. That's absolutely clear. All, by the way, based on some of the comments that I've received over the past few weeks, because I made a joke about the local French-Canadian accent, where I was told, dirty immigrant, leave here, dirty Jew, leave here, dirty Arab, leave here, it might not be so far-fetched to think that Canada, or at least Quebec, has a lot of noble, tolerant people. Number 16, joual is the most beautiful sound in nature. These are the 16 I've got. Am I missing anything? Let me know, because I'm still putting together the full, the panoply of lessons that Jordan will have to undertake as part of his re-education lobotomy. This is wonderful. This is what you want in a free society. You want our most well-known authors, thinkers, professors to constantly be worried that they may say something on social media or in a private conversation, maybe even in the bedroom with their spouses, that might offend someone, and then they should either be fired or kicked out of the country or sent through re-education programs. That's what you want. We want a society where no one has the chance of having their feelings hurt. I wish I could say slowly we inch, quickly we gallop. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for joining us today. Until next time, go out and do good.